Should we have it just question answer? No. So what should be the class about then? Didn't you speak enough this morning about Radharani? Actually, of course, one cannot speak enough about Radharani. Radharani is actually the ultimate in charge of all living entities. And she feels very bad for the living entities, those who go away from Krishna consciousness. Originally, all the living entities are meant for Krishna's pleasure. All the living entities are supposed to give pleasure to Krishna. And Radharani is in charge of this pleasure to Krishna. So, living entities are actually serving Krishna under the care of Radharani. So, when the living entities go away from Krishna consciousness, or when the living entities leave the spiritual sky, Radharani especially feels very bad for them. And that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came in the mood of Radharani, he was so magnanimous. Krishna himself is not so merciful. Although Krishna is the most merciful, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Radharani is even more merciful than Krishna. And that's why when Krishna comes in the mood of Radharani, he is most magnanimous. So, when we try to render service to Krishna, Radharani becomes very pleased. She helps the living entities, and she is actually the supreme reservoir of devotional service. So today it's Radharani's appearance day, and we must understand that she came to this earth planet on this auspicious day, and by appearing here she blessed this earth planet. That's what has been described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that why this earth planet is so fortunate. Of all the three planetary systems, upper, middle and lower planetary systems, earth planet is most specially blessed because Radha Krishna appeared here. When Radharani appeared on this earth planet became specially blessed. And living entities, those who accept that benediction of Radharani's appearance on this planet, they are also very, very fortunate. So on this day, the day, the auspicious day when she appeared, we must make it a point to dedicate ourselves in serving Srimati Radharani. The desire for devotees is just to become a servant of Radharani. Bhakti Vinod Thakur is saying, Dhamer sharup sphurive noyone hoibo radharo dashi. When I will be able to perceive the real form of the Dham, the abode of Krishna. And when shall I become a maidservant of Srimati Radharani? Hoibo Radharo Dashi. Actually, it's a very, very profound subject to talk about Radharani is very, very profound, and we actually have to be very careful also that we do not misunderstand by any chance the position of Radharani. We should never, even in our remotest dream, consider Radharani to be an ordinary person, an ordinary female, and Krishna an ordinary male. We have to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Radharani is Krishna's eternal consort. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and Radharani is his eternal consort. And if we analyze the position of Radharani, then we can look at it this way, that Radharani first expands as Rukmini. I'm sorry, not, Radharani is not Rukmini. Chandravali is Rukmini, and Radharani is Satyabhama, a queen of Krishna in Dwarka. Krishna expands himself first as Balaram, and then from Balaram there is that Adi Chaturbhuha, Vasudev, Shankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. Vasudev is Krishna in Dwarka. Krishna in Dwarka is Vasudev, and Shankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. This is called Chaturbhuha. And there Krishna is married to his eternal consorts. In Vrindavan there are 16,000 gopis, and in Dwarka they have become 16,000 queens. So they expanded. As Krishna expands, Krishna's potency, Radharani also expands. Then Krishna becomes Narayan. Then from this Rukmini or Satyabhama, the expansion of the Lakshmis, Mahalakshmis. And then there are different Vishnu incarnations, and they expand further as Lakshmis. Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshai Vishnu, and Karanodakshai Vishnu. Kshirodakshai Vishnu. And then this Vishnu glances at Maya. And by his glance, this material nature is created. Just Vishnu glances at Maya, and the material universe, or material nature is created. So we can see that how inconceivable is the position of Srimati Radharani, and how inconceivable is the dealings between Radha and Krishna. If by Krishna, Mahavishnu's glancing at Maya, the whole creation become manifest, then can we possibly understand what it means when Krishna glances at Radharani? It is impossible for us. Mahavishnu is an expansion of the expansion of the expansion of Krishna. And that Mahavishnu's glance towards Maya is the cause of the creation of this material nature. So we have to understand that how inconceivable it is to understand the dealings between Krishna and Srimati Radharani. We do not know what it means when Krishna glances at Radharani. What to talk about when they're dancing, and their other exchanges, they're talking, they're singing together. Sometimes Radharani steals Krishna's flute. Sometimes Radharani gets angry with Krishna. It is actually impossible for us to understand. That's why Prabhupada actually did not speak much about Radha Krishna, because Prabhupada knew that we are not qualified to understand. Of course, this morning I spoke quite a lot about Radharani. But then later on I was thinking whether I'm qualified to speak like that. It is a matter of understanding her position and praying for her mercy. And we also must understand that this is a kind of a principle, this is a topic that cannot really be conceived by our material intelligence and cannot also properly be expressed in mundane words. Only with our devotion can we possibly understand her position, understand her. So I would request everyone to not to take her position lightly. It's not just some stories that pleases our intellect or mind. It's not just some stories or just some happenings. These happenings are undoubtedly true. They are actually absolute truth. And they have a very, very profound purport, a profound underlying meaning that cannot be conceived or cannot be understood by material intelligence. It has to be understood by spiritual intelligence or devotional service. Someday, maybe, there will be a revelation of these facts in our hearts, when the heart gets totally purified. Until then, let us keep on endeavoring, keep on trying to become her servant. Keep on trying to just somehow render some service under Srila Prabhupada's guidance, in the Society for Krishna Consciousness. That is what actually counts. Our attachment to ISKCON, our attachment to Srila Prabhupada, our attachment to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is what counts. And then, this other elevated spiritual realizations will automatically dawn in our hearts. Regarding that, there is a very nice shloka by Prabodhananda Saraswati. Says, Yatha yatha gaura padara binde kriyeto bhakti kritopunja rashi tatha tathut sarpati ridi akosmat radha padam bhojo sudhambho rashi. Yatha yatha gaura padara binde kriyeto bhakti kritopunja rashi. As we develop our attachment to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, tatha tathot sarpati ridi akosmat, all of a sudden, then we find in our heart that the mercy or the nectar of Krishna consciousness is inundating our heart, springing from the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. A flood or flow of nectar of Krishna consciousness is emanating from Radharani's lotus feet and inundating our hearts. So we can see that we cannot actually directly approach Radha Krishna. But as we approach Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that approach ultimately is transformed into devotional service to Radha Krishna and mercy, special mercy of Srimati Radharani. And for us, it is not even, we cannot even approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabodhananda Saraswati was an associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so he could say, Jatha Jatha Gaura Padaravinde Kriyatu Bhakti Krita Punja Rashi. He could develop direct attachment to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is an eternal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But we are so far removed from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But in our case, Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet is there, and the manifestation of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet is this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And as we develop our attachment to this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, to that extent, we will develop our love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And to that degree, all of a sudden we will see that Radharani's mercy is inundating our hearts. Krishna consciousness is a science. It is not sentiment, nor it is blind faith. It is a science, and as we follow the course, as we practice it properly, then it bears appropriate results. And as we practice Krishna consciousness under proper guidance, according to proper instructions, then according to that degree, we develop our attachment to Mahaprabhu and Radha Krishna. We must be very, very thankful to Krishna, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to Srimati Radharani, to Prabhupada, to all the devotees, that we are in ISKCON today. I emphasize this point very much because with the passing of days, I'm realizing the importance of this society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Actually is the only hope for this world. And if we positively or effectively render service to this society or through this society, accordingly we will make our advancement in spiritual life. It's never going to go in vain. Anybody who is in ISKCON, rendering service through ISKCON to Krishna consciousness, is never going to be a loser. We lose only when we leave. And we must also be very careful that Maya is very vigilant. Maya is watching us. And Maya knows our weaknesses. And Maya's business is to take us away from Krishna consciousness. Not exactly to take us away from Krishna consciousness. Maya's business is to see that how sincerely we are trying to become connected to Krishna consciousness. How sincere we are, that's what Maya wants to see. And from time to time, Maya will test us. And if we are not sincere, then we will fail, and then we'll fall. So we should be very, very careful not to deviate from Krishna consciousness, not to harbor any other desire besides serving Prabhupada and ISKCON. One big Maya is also to think that we can serve Krishna without Prabhupada and without ISKCON. But that's a very, very big Maya. Nobody can serve Krishna without Prabhupada's mercy. Actually, recently I had a very interesting discussion. Some people were asking me that Prabhupada's godbrothers, they are also devotees. So if some devotees go and join them, then they are also rendering service to Krishna. By Krishna's mercy, the answer came right on the tip of my tongue. And the answer was that Mahaprabhu's mercy is flowing through the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Mahaprabhu predicted that the holy name will spread in every town and village all over the world. And this is a thing that Mahaprabhu himself did not do. He kept it to be fulfilled by somebody. And then, although apparently it was impossible, even the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to think that it was a poetic exaggeration. Now how can Krishna consciousness spread in every town and village all over the world? But it happened. And we have to understand that it didn't happen by chance. Mahaprabhu predicted, and when it happened, we have to understand that it happened by Mahaprabhu's arrangements. And Mahaprabhu sent his most dear associate to accomplish that mission. So Mahaprabhu's mercy is actually flowing through this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Now anybody who wants to be connected to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should have joined ISKCON. If they were sincere about serving the Sankirtan movement, should have joined ISKCON. But those who did not, they are not actually sincere about their spiritual life. They are not sincerely trying to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why? Because of their false ego. They can't join because of their pride. So, at least according to my understanding, they are asar. They are not effective. Their devotional service is dry. Don't we often say that, at least I do, that if Jesus Christ was here today, then he would have joined ISKCON. Why do we say that? Because we know that Jesus was sincere about spreading the love of God. And ISKCON is a society that is actually a wonderful platform to spread the love of God all over the world. So knowing very well that Jesus is sincere about that, that's why he would have joined ISKCON. So why not the Gaudiya Vaishnavas? Why not Prabhupada's godbrothers? Why not other followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So this analysis came very clearly to my mind. And I very strongly believe that is true. So if somebody joins some other group, other temple outside of ISKCON, that's all right. But for ISKCON devotees to leave ISKCON and join somebody else is very, very unfortunate. It is Maya. It's very important to understand how fortunate we are just by being a part of this ISKCON movement. And I also very strongly believe that if we can spend this life in ISKCON, as a part of ISKCON, somehow or other, like it or don't like it, if somehow or other we stick to ISKCON, that then at the end of this life, we'll go back to Godhead. Prabhupada said that actually. Prabhupada said, if you remain in ISKCON, following the four regulative principles and chanting 16 rounds a day, I guarantee that you all will go back to Godhead. So it's such an easy thing. Just to remain in ISKCON. And if we remain in ISKCON, then it becomes so easy to follow the regulative principles. Just the association of devotees protect us from falling down. Maya is, of course, is very strong, but the association of devotees is stronger. And if we remain in the association of devotees, do not commit offenses to the devotees, remain favorably disposed to the other devotees around us, then Maya won't be able to touch us. And chanting 16 rounds, of course, is a must. We should never disregard that instruction of Prabhupada. And then just one lifetime is so short a span. 20, 30, 40, 50 years. It'll just fly like, and the time will fly. 50, 60 years will just fly in no time. And then just because of that, that we remained in ISKCON, sincerely served the mission, following the instructions of Prabhupada, following the regulative principles and chanting 16 rounds at least, then at the end of this life, we'll be promoted to Vrindavan or Navadvip. So why not just offer this life to ISKCON? That's what Prabhupada told me also in one of the first meetings I had with Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, many, many lifetimes you have tried to enjoy, but this life you just offered to Krishna. And he said, just offer it to Krishna and go back to Godhead. It's so easy. By Prabhupada's mercy, it has become so easy. We can enjoy our life when we are alive in this planet by being a part of ISKCON, and then at the end of this life we'll go back to Godhead and enjoy there. So it's a wonderful condition. We enjoy when we are here, and then at the end of this life we enjoy there. Little bit of austerities are there, but actually they are not austerities. It is good. To follow the four regulative principles is actually not an austerity. Any intelligent man will admit that it is actually bliss. To follow the four regulative principles is very blissful. So it's not austerities. Actually there is no austerity in Krishna consciousness. Yesterday I was, Jai Gopal Prabhu was telling, like, observing the Ekadasi, the next morning, fasting the whole day and staying up the whole night, and next morning you feel as if you can fly. So, who would not, and actually it is so nice even to fast. It's so nice even to stay up the whole night. So in Krishna, although apparently karmis would think that, or outsiders would think, oh, it's so austere. But actually it is bliss. Like karmis think to sleep on the floor is so austere. But I feel that to sleep on in a soft bed is austere. Because I can't sleep. Sometimes when we are invited to stay in some life member's house or some friend's house, then I make it a point, I pull out the bed, make it on the floor and just sleep, and they can't understand why I do that. And I tell them that I can't sleep in that soft bed. And actually hard bed is good for our back and for our body, for our sleep. Waking, getting up in the morning, taking a bath, people think that it's so austere. But we know it's bliss. So, when whatever we do in Krishna consciousness is extremely joyful. early days when Prabhupada just started the center in 26 Second Avenue. Once Prabhupada got Kirtananda Maharaj to give a lecture in a Sunday feast. And Kirtananda Maharaj mentioned in the lecture that in Krishna consciousness is so wonderful. You enjoy Krishna prasad, you chant, you sing, enjoy and dance in ecstasy. And you render a little service, and you do a little work. Prabhupada stopped him. He says, no. In Krishna consciousness there is no work. And then Prabhupada explained the difference between work and service. When you do something with love, it is service. It's an expression of our love. But work is something that is forced upon somebody, that we do not want to do, but we have to do it because we are forced. Like people outside, they work. And they work not for the love of their work, or not for the love of their boss. They work because at the end of the week they get the money. And if somebody says, well, I can't pay you anymore, then they'll say, okay, goodbye. I'm not coming back from tomorrow. So people there, they don't know what spontaneous service is. So they're working like an ass. But we do not work, we enjoy. Whatever we do is joyful. We go out distributing books, it's joyful. We go out in Harinam, it's joyful. We cook in the kitchen, it's joyful. We wash the pots for Krishna, it's joyful. Everything is joyful. And our life in Krishna consciousness is an eternal holiday. We are in a never-ending vacation. And that's why we don't need any holidays. Our holidays, actually we don't have any holiday, everything is service. Our holiday, the only holiday we can think of is going to India for Mayapur festival. But that's not a holiday, actually how can there be a holiday when the whole thing is a holiday? Actually, ours is a real holy day. Because everything about Krishna consciousness is holy. So thank you all very much. I really, it's so nice to be with you all. And actually when I was away, I was thinking when I was going to come back. And anyway, so I'm sure we will be together in separation through our service to Krishna, to Prabhupada, to ISKCON. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question? Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, that irritates me also. Because, you know, those presentations are so mundane. How can anyone portray Radharani? And how can anyone portray Krishna? I was just discussing this afternoon with the devotees after the feast. Like, some time back, I just saw Peter Brook's Mahabharata. And there Krishna has been portrayed not exactly as Krishna. He is just an ordinary person. His complexion was not blue. He was not wearing a peacock feather on his head. He was not gorgeously dressed, decorated with all kinds of divine ornaments. And I actually appreciated it, because I knew that he is not actually trying to be Krishna, but he is actually, through his words, he is trying to invoke or revive the memory of Krishna that I have in my mind. So I think that is more appropriate, not presenting Krishna out of, not trying to make or create Krishna out of a mundane person. Let the mundane person be mundane, but let Krishna appear in our, if not in our hearts, at least in our minds, in our memories. That's a lot better. But these films, actually, these filmmakers in India are very low-class people. They do not have any understanding of spiritual life. They make these films just to make money. Not for their devotion, not out of their devotion. And they don't have, the people, those who play those roles, don't have any purity at all, any Krishna consciousness whatsoever. So I personally feel that if the production, if the presentation is not good, it's better not to see them. Maybe someday we'll be able to produce films, and I think then they'll be bona fide, not otherwise. Actually, Krishna's rasa dance is so divine that when even the demigods saw the rasa dance, they're awestruck. It's not just some kind of cheap dance like that. I want to talk about the demigods being awestruck. Even the queens of Dwarka, Krishna's eternal consorts, Krishna's queens, when they saw rasa dance, they were awestruck. They said that we couldn't believe. I mean, we have heard of rasa dance, but now we saw what it actually is. So with our mundane eyes, we cannot perceive it. And with our mundane intelligence, we cannot conceive it. It's a difficult question, like, because, you know, like, I mean, if you want my honest opinion, I would say no. But then I know that many people don't like it. Like, I said no to children reading those comic books, the comics. But I know many people didn't like it. It's better to give them the understanding who Krishna is, who Radharani is, and what their pastimes are, because our memory is more fertile than the screen. So if we can train them to see these pastimes of Krishna in our mind, then I think it's going to be more effective. Because as a matter of fact, whenever I see some dramas or plays or movies about Krishna, not that often I see that, but whenever I see that, it is actually a come down. I feel as if my Krishna consciousness has come down to a lower level. Because in my mind, in my heart, I can perceive Krishna consciousness of Krishna. Like when I read Prabhupada's books, we do see Krishna and Krishna's pastimes in our mind's eye. When we read, we see them. And that is far more wonderful, far more beautiful than these mundane productions. So I think, you know, of course, then again, I don't want to be very, very strict as such. Because then again the question comes, what do we have for our children? And actually, I take the blame for myself. Why don't we produce something for our children? Why do they have to see those karmic films? Why don't we produce, you know, nice plays, even nice video shows, films for our children? Why don't we print comic books for our children? Krishna conscious comic books. And I think that's the ultimate solution. I mean, if we want them to stop reading comics or seeing these films, then we have to give them a positive alternative. Unless and until we give them a positive alternative, we cannot say no to that. It won't be proper. So I think it's high time we think of some positive alternatives. So, is there any other question? Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Srimati Radharani. All glories to Radha Gopinath ji.